clap of praise tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, it said he put a song of praise in my heart. And sometimes I can't find my song of praise, but he's still in there. That's right. I still got joy in the midst of anything in life. If I'll just get away from, it doesn't matter what it is, what you're going through. Get away from all these things, all this negativity that we live in. Go right back to him. There's a joy. There's a peace. There's a God who's still alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Need a touch from him tonight. Brother Andrew is too. You know, sometimes you just have a day, you need a revival. That's right. It's revival tonight, brother, yes, sister. Amen. Might have showed up dead, but that's all right. We're going to go home alive.
Amen.
That's why we came. We came to hear the word and let the word change us to what we need to be, Lord. Amen. Whatever it is, that's what I want, Father. John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. Turn there. John chapter 10, we're going to go to verse 30. Brother Alexander is going to be speaking for us on the 18th. It's about 2.5 weeks from now. The week after that, Brother Nathan Erickson is going to be around and speak for us that Sunday. So 2 Sundays in a row, I'm going to have a guest minister. I just asked them when it worked for them, and that's when they said. So I was like, well, I guess that's fine with me. So that's how that works out. I'm not, you know, they usually ask, what do you all do for Labor Day? We haven't had enough Labor Days to know what we do yet, you know. What are you doing this week? I don't know. We're just having church, you know. We'll get it figured out, I guess. I just love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
You know, there's just something about the truth of what we know, what we've been told. You know, you start getting distracted and think of other things. All you got to do is put on a tape for a minute and hear that voice again. And it does what I believe happened in that vision. Get back in line.
Yes.
And it does. It puts you right back where you need to be. So I got a familiar scripture here tonight, probably taking a different angle than what you're used to, but I think that'll be all right. John chapter 10, let's start at verse 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you for my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? He called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. And the scripture cannot be broken.
Amen.
Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? Because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Let's stop there. I like to preach tonight, living in the absolute in a world without absolutes. Living in the absolute in a world without absolutes. Let's bow our heads together. As we bow our heads to our King tonight, is there a need in your heart? You know God knows, and you need it tonight, and you'd like to lift it to him. Would you raise your hand tonight? God bless you. Believe now as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that no matter what we do, what we've gone through, Lord, there's still one thing true, and that's you. Your faithfulness, it's enduring, your mercy, it's new every morning, Father. You never change. You're just as glorious yesterday as you are today. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for an anchor in my soul, in my life, Lord, that no matter where we would go astray, it puts us right back on the path again. Thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. We pray, Father, in this group of two or three people, that your presence would just abide here, Lord, and it would shatter all the kingdoms of the enemy, that the Word of God would pierce into our souls and make us what we ought to be in Christ. If there's any in need of healing tonight, whether it be natural, physical, financial, Lord, whatever our problems are, we don't try to do it on our own, but we do what you said, casting all our care on you now. That, Lord, we care about you, Lord. We want to worship you. We want you to feel welcome here. And, Lord, you said if we cast all our cares on you, you'd care for us, Father. And we come believing that tonight. I pray that the God of heaven will come and use this gift to speak to us, Lord. But may it go into every heart and may it just put forth fruit mightily to your kingdom. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you, Lord, that we have a desire to even be here, Lord. We're blessed to even thirst and to hunger after you. How much more are we blessed when you come and fulfill our thirst and feed our hunger? Thank you for being so faithful. Have your way tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I think the title, you already kind of know where we're heading tonight, and everybody can say amen to trying, you know, as a Christian and as a born-again believer and understanding the time that we live in, the day that we live in. We're not ignorant in this day. Other days, they had to guess and probe, but in this day now, we don't do that anymore. God has opened the seals. God has shown us what's going on. We don't have to worry about any signs or wonders of that sort. We all know what everything is pointing to, that it's long overdue for the coming of the Lord. That if God... God easily could have came in the days of the prophet. No problem breaking the scripture anywhere. That's right. But God in His infinite mercy knows the day. He knows the hour. He knows the minute. And He knows that He needed us to be ready for it because we're a part of Him. Hallelujah. And that's an anchor to our souls as born-again believers. It's that Christ picked us. It's that Christ saved us. It's that I couldn't do anything for myself. But one day He came to me and grabbed me with His hand and pulled me out of the muck that I was in. And how many times we struggled to stay in that muck, but He just kept pulling and pulling and pulling. And you say, how do you keep pulling? Every time you try to take another drink, something on the inside said, this is wrong. And every time you try to take the Lord's name in vain, and some would say, this is wrong, and you might have done it anyways, but you knew it. I can't be like this. And you tried to live in the world, try to be like your buddies, and they seem to do it without any problem, but for some reason, you can't fit in. And they know it. They'll come by and say, you a softy, boy. You can't hide it. They know what you are. You can't go out there and be a chicken. They see you got too big of wings, buddy. What are you doing around here? You look funny. You talk a little different, Eagle. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. At least you better have that witness or there's something wrong. If you can fit in with the world, then brother, sister, you need an experience. That's right. You should not be fitting in with the world. You ain't going to find one man of God in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that ever fit in with the world. That's right. They were weird. They were different. They were oddballs, as Brother Branham said. They were called something. They were called crazy. Why? Because of what I'm preaching tonight. Here's Jesus. At the end of His ministry, He goes, and what does He do? He begins to break the word to them. He begins to show them what His absolute is. Jesus' absolute wasn't miracles. His absolute wasn't certain doctrines or certain groups or certain disciples. His absolute was the Father. What God said, that's what He was. And when it came time and they pressured Him to the issue, He didn't back down. He said, I and my Father are one. And as He stood on that absolute, what began to happen? Here came people who thought they had an absolute, but really didn't. Their absolute was, we believe Moses. And He said, well, why did Moses say in the law? I don't know. How come you guys say, according to your doctrine, that Christ is the son of David? Yet David called Him his Lord. And what did they do? I don't know. So when they said they had absolutes, Jesus exposed, you don't have one. You think you do, but you have nothing. And He came to the end of His ministry. And when He began to stand on the word and proclaim the only means of salvation, if you don't believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. He was presenting this to help them. And what did it do? It infuriated them. Why? Here's someone who's so stuck up. He thinks he's the only one that's right. You being a man are making yourself God. You're telling me you never made a mistake? He said, go find it. Yeah. Ooh, buddy. Imagine a man trying to do that today. And he said, well, you're not Jesus. Well, I understand that. But see, you're going hindsight. He was a man. He was from Nazareth. He was illegitimate born as far as they were concerned. He was a newbie preacher. He was off the streets. He didn't go to the Sanhedrin Council. He didn't know nothing about all this studying books and stuff. They even asked, how does this man know the Bible and he don't even have it in his house? He doesn't even have letters. How's he doing this? Because he was the Word. Hallelujah. But he was in an age, and don't
You can't isolate the day of Jesus. It's the same as it has been in every age. The world doesn't have an absolute. Every time they claim to have one, you question them long enough, they'll denounce their own absolute. We live in a world now where that is how, that is the absolute. The absolute is that there are no absolutes. And for you to claim there is one makes you an ignorant, bigot, undecent citizen. That's right. You're stuck up because you say there's only one way and we say it could be anything, but we don't know what it is. I'm sorry. I've met a real God. I've met something that's lasting. I've got substance faith. I got something I can put my hands on. It's met me there when I had a need. It's healed me when I was sick. It provided when I couldn't find a way. Amen. And more than anything, it took my old wretched soul, my heart that was dying in sin and shame, and it gave me life. It gave me a purpose. It showed me that life had a meaning. When before we just didn't know. You tried and tried and tried to find meaning in life, and it just falls apart. We live in a world now where it was just like, and just listen here now. But even in Deuteronomy, before the law was given, Moses said this, said, you shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Sure, in the days of Judges, it says it twice because there's really two time periods in the day. Judges, not really interested in that, but it says the same thing. There wasn't a king in Israel, so every man did what was right in his own eyes. And many carnal minds have said, well, wait a minute, that sounds like a bad thing. But when they asked for a king, that was a bad thing as well. Well, how does that work? They had a king. That's the problem. They had a king, but they had turned him down. It was God. They had a king, but in the days of Judges, God would send them a judge who had the word of God, who was God for them in that age. That's right, brother, sister. They were the absolute of that age. But when they turned that absolute down, they had no king. And they began to feel lost and not know what direction to go. And that's what will happen to a man who forsakes God's word. That's right, forsake the word of the hour, not a word of a day gone by. That has no power. There's no absolute to that. An absolute does not change. Amen. If it was right 1,000 years ago, it's right today.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Live in an age, and I think all of you think of certain people here and there that just, you look at those that are leaving this message. And I've asked many times, okay, fine. I'll play, they call it devil's advocate. I'll play on the other side of the fence for a while. Let's say the message is wrong. Where do we go? What is right? No other answer? I don't know. Okay. Well, last I checked, I'd rather guess on something than to not try anything. Can you say amen to that? You know your chances of making a shot you don't take are zero. I'd rather be blindfolded, spinning around, sick to my stomach, and only have one arm and throw the thing up. I got a better chance. Isn't that right? But praise God, we ain't guessing. That's right. I've got an absolute. So that don't shake me at all. But I was just proving a point that once they left the absolute, they can't go to the Baptist. They know it's wrong. They can't go to Catholic. They know it's wrong. Come on now. They can't go to Muhammad and Buddha. And all. They know it's all wrong. So what happens? They go into a world of no absolutes. Just like the days of Judges. So what begins to happen? Whatever you think is right becomes right. The greatest deception in the world is self-deception. I've already shown you, and I've talked about that article where you can literally tell yourself a lie. You can be the one that framed it. You can be the one that came up with it. And you can eventually teach yourself that it's actually true. The Bible declares this. Listen now. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now do you see why the prophet said God was looking for a zeal. He was looking for a zeal in his church. And it wasn't, well, we sing the loudest, we jump the highest, we're the most intellectual, or however you want to go, either direction. He was saying, a zeal to say, I am wrong. Why? Because we're all fools. We're all dumb. We all don't know what we're doing. We need him. Amen. I just got done reading the guide. And I think of a prophet of God. And he said, I even got stuck up one time. The prophet's saying that. Don't act like you're immune. This stuff can happen to you. He said, I'm too good of a woodsman. I can't get lost. God saw that little kernel of pride in his heart. And God loved him so much, he wouldn't leave it there. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for that? Thank you, Lord, that even though I don't want to do this, I know you know better than me. Amen. That I need it out of my life. And the prophet said, I'm too good of a hunter. And he started, I'm too good of a guide. I'm too good of a woodsman. I can't get lost. And he left his wife. It was his honeymoon, he said. And some of you sisters complain about your husband. At least your husband didn't leave on his honeymoon to go hunting. And many brothers will use that as an excuse. Brother Branham said, that's to my shame. He was at least honest that he was being a little selfish. Ooh, I said that about... No, he said that. If you don't like that, well, sorry. Brother Branham believed he was a man. You might think he's deity without any faults or failures, but I don't believe that. But he went there and Meadie and his son Billy Paul, they were little, of course, or he was anyways. And they were up in a cabin somewhere, and he said, storms started coming through, got all foggy, and the short of it is, it was going to get cold. They don't know how to live in the wilderness. Brother Ram would have been fine. He said, if they weren't there, I just would have hid out in the woods and just waited a few days and been gone. But he said, I needed to get to them. He began to walk. Look, I'm talking about absolutes now. He began to change his absolute into, I'm a good guide. He began to get confident that he would be okay. And what began to happen? He killed a deer. That's right. He put it up on a tree. He said, all right, we'll start heading back. And he started heading back. You know what happened after a while? He said, this looks familiar. He said, this looks like what I was at earlier. You know what happened? There was a deer in the tree. He said, oh no. And he said, deep down, I already knew I'm lost. But what do? Just like we do. We just bluff ourselves. No, I'm okay. I'm okay. It's not a big deal. The prophet God said that. He's like, oh, it's all right. You try to talk yourself out of it. But here's the thing. That little conviction on the inside of the inside was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. And he began to try again. And he looked for this. He looked for the moss. He looked for the leaves. He used all the things that he knew as a man. And guess what? Here coming around again, there's the deer. After a while, I began to realize it's going to get too late. He said, but then a voice kept coming. He said, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble.
Yes.
And he began to realize, I'm helpless. He said, the Indians call it the death walk, the death circle. Where you just go around a circle until you go crazy and die. He said, a man that's lost goes nuts. He doesn't know what to do. They find him, go eat their own arms and all kinds of nonsense. Why do you think the reason of the loss is such a terrible thing? Because you don't get found.
Right.
There's nowhere to be found. But he said, as I said, Lord, I'm stupid. I'm sorry. And he raised his hands and he said, it just cleared right out. He said, I can't explain it. But right where he needed to go, it just appeared right out. The clouds separated so you could see it. But he still needed to find the phone line to get there. He would follow the phone line back. So he started walking. He didn't know where to go. You know what? I just got done reading it here not too long ago. You know what he began to do? He said, Lord, I'm trusting you. He said, I held my gun in one hand. I held my hand up just waiting to hit that line. He said, Lord, I don't know. I know it's supposed to be this direction, but I already tried this myself. Lord, guide me. Be my guide. And he said, I'd hit a tree bark and say, oh, no, that wasn't it. You know what most of us do, spiritually speaking now? That was natural, but you do that spiritually with promises. Say, oh, I thought God gave it to me, but he didn't. And you know what you do? You quit.
Right.
Quit believing. Quit trying. Don't worry about it. And just go on depressed as ever. Guess I'll never get delivered.
Uh-huh.
Go on back with your temper. I guess I'll just always have that. Come on now. Oh, I'm just back. I can't have a parallel life. Sorry, can't do it. I thought I had it, but I lost it. People do that. And you know what happens? Stop coming to church. Stop reading their Bible. Why? They quit. They quit. They didn't endure trial of faith. Brother Branham, and I thank God for a prophet. Hallelujah. He said, and even this arm would get tired. I'd hold it up so long, get tired. So I'd switch arms and hold this one up. Hold my gun this way. But you know what? He hit the line.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know why God brought him to that darkness? To show him who was his real God.
Amen.
God brought the children of Israel. God guided them to the Red Sea. He guided them to where it was hopeless. Why? So they would know. I don't care how smart you guys think you are. I'm the guide.
Uh-huh.
And the guy there in the Red Sea, and there's the Egyptians coming. They don't know how to swim. They sure ain't getting their kids over. That's right. And there ain't no bed of reeds that killed Egyptians. All right.
Amen.
It was the middle of the night. All of a sudden, the cloud came around and it circled all behind them. Come on now. And all night long, the waters separated and they just passed right on through.
Sure.
Now, if they only would have stuck with the God, they'd have been in the promised land in a few days.
That's right.
But instead, they began to leave their absolute.
Mm-hmm.
They began to try to go different directions. But what happened? They didn't have an absolute.
That's right.
They had golden calves. They worshipped them for a service and then they beat them up and threw them in the river. Then they think, well, we have a right to complain to God. And then God sent fiery serpents and said, okay, we'll go back to that holy roller religion. Moses, pray for us.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have an absolute. Come on. Every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. It shows you how grateful we ought to be that God gave us the Holy Ghost in this day. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Because any man can fall in this. The Bible says it's Proverbs 21:2. Every man is right in his own eyes. Every man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Amen.
God gets past intellect. He gets down into why you're really doing it. And if you want to know the truth, only God knows why you're doing what you're doing. You don't know most of the time why you're doing what you're doing. So many times you had a motive. You thought, I'm going to do this. And before you realize, it's like, why was I doing this? I don't even care. You put hour after hour, you know, trial after trial to do something, and then you get done with it, and you're like, well, I didn't even care about that. Why did I waste time? Sometimes we don't even know. That's why God ponders our hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why God put the Holy Ghost in the heart. Amen. So he could govern it. Hallelujah.
Right.
What happened to Jesus? What? Well, to live into this realm, listen, now we're talking about being in an absolute. We're talking about being in a place where you know black and white.
Yes, that's exactly
gray is gone. That's where the Christian lives. That's where Jesus lived. He got to the end. It was not, well, maybe the Father and I are one. Maybe if you believe in me, that'll be like extra credit and you'll get a bonus reward. But you can still not believe me and be in heaven. No, brother, sister, it's all or nothing.
Amen.
There is no gray.
Right.
We just had an assembly here, and I'm just thinking about this now, but it was called Breaking the Gray. And they were trying to show how, you know, like, young boy want to go out with you. And it looks like he's just trying to hang out. He said, there's no gray. He's got an intention.
Yeah.
He wants to get you into drugs or whatever, sleep around with you or what. You understand what the world's like now. I think we can talk flat. This is everywhere.
Right.
Amen. He said, we got to break that. It's not gray. It's black and white.
Sure.
This is a bad decision.
Yeah.
You know, I made a very good point. You see a young person die, maybe Austin's age or up, maybe in the 20s or whatever. Die from their own mistake, something stupid.
Right.
Went out and got drunk. I got somebody graduating my class, one but 2 years in college, drunk and got so drunk he threw up and suffocated himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now I appreciate their willingness to do a memorial, but now they have a scholarship for him,
yeah.
Or for in his name. And you think, is that really the reputation you want to give a scholarship for?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? There, so he's another one, football player, a few years older than me, that got drunk so bad. Ran away from the cops and ran into the river. Cop went after him. Got him out of the river. He was so drunk, he jumped back in. And now they have his name memorial scholarship. And I appreciate, you know, I understand the parents. I it doesn't matter. It's your children.
Right.
I understand that. But at the same time, I don't want to remember that.
Right.
That's not something to advocate as good.
Right.
But that's the world we live in. Everything that's evil gets propped up as good. Why? We've lost sense of absolute. Is there anyone who will come up to you and say, oh yeah, it's great my dad gets wasted every night? Of course not. They'll say that's wrong. But at the same mouth, they'll go and say, hey, you want to go to a party and get wasted tonight?
Sure.
Which is which, buddy?
Amen.
You know what it is? My flesh. Whatever it says goes. Well, when my daddy got drunk, that was negative on me. But when I get drunk, it feels good. So that makes it better now. It's okay. Everything's right in our own eyes. And brother, sister, don't let that creep into here, into the message, into the church. Don't you bypass the quote because you think you know better. Don't bypass the scripture because you think, oh, that's too mean. That's too straight. That's hard. There's got to be more grace than that. The Bible's got enough grace. It was in the blood. Hallelujah. And that didn't give you a license to go sin. It gave you another day to repent so you could get right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Aren't you grateful for that?
Yes.
It isolated Jesus. Do you understand this? He had to walk alone.
Amen.
He had to be the only one who knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Now that's why you got to have revelation.
Yeah.
Amen. There's too many voices in this day.
Yeah.
There's too many people think this message is their absolute, but it isn't.
Right.
You say, well, I think it's all right to miss church for this, that, or the other. And you say, brother, look what Brother Bram said. Oh, that was just his opinion. Doesn't sound like an absolute to me.
Nope. Amen.
Got quiet, but that's all right. If I want to get closer to God, I'm going to fast, and then I'm going to do this good work, and then I'm going to get really good, and I'm going to pray really loud, and I'm going to get up and do a really good thing and show off and sing me a special, and then I'll get closer to God. And the prophet was asked the question. And that's my absolute. How do you get closer to God? Read your Bible and pray every day. And don't bypass the scripture. It told you where to pray. In your closet.
That's right.
In private.
Right.
before God. Because if you'll do it before God, you'll be rewarded openly. That's right. But that's got to become an absolute. You understand? You can't make that wishy-washy or gray, or maybe it's true, maybe it's not. No, it's an absolute.
Amen.
Jesus went and he healed them all.
Yes, amen.
That's an absolute or it's not. Well, there's this particular case here and this happened there. Okay, that's fine. You can go and fight all you want to. How come we all know the one-time healing didn't happen? We can't remember the 10 million when it did.
Right.
You know why? People got cop-outs for their unbelief.
That's right.
Amen.
So they know, down again, they have down in their heart, they have that little check says, you know what, I don't really believe this.
Right.
So instead of fessing up and repenting, they will say, oh, that's why I didn't get healed, because Brother Branham said blank. You know, there was too much unbelief in the church today. What a misrepresentation of what you guys, I think you all know what story I'm talking about. Remember he went to, I think it was Jairus' daughter, and he said, everybody get out of here except Peter. He said he was getting the unbelievers out.
Right.
Yeah, he was at Jairus' house, not church.
Right.
Yeah, if I was going to pray for somebody and they were in a bar, I'd probably say we need to leave first.
Right.
Or in a strip club. Or, you understand where he was important.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you don't want to, you can't do sin. Elijah is in the midst of sin. You got to get out. God is, I'm going to read it here. God is a segregationalist. He isolates us, all right, away from sin, away from the world. If you don't want to stick out, get a different religion.
Amen.
This whole definition, especially in this day, of what we believe is to stick out. And God said it. Jesus said it. You are the light of the world.
Amen.
Everything else is groping in darkness, and not just a little darkness. It's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face, but I'm sending you as a light.
Yes.
You are the absolute for this age because you believe the word of God. People make that excuse all the time. There's just too much unbelief. This brother did this, and that's why I couldn't get healed. And this child started fussing. That broke the spirit. Maybe you just need to get praying more about it then.
Amen.
Why don't you pray to help the atmosphere so that child won't keep having an attitude? Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. And parents, we ought to do our part too. That's right. They fuss. You get on them. Amen. That's right.
Sure.
Some of you grandparents, well, maybe, but if not my little grandkid, he's so sweet and humble. Well, didn't have that grace for me, did you, Dad? You know where I sat in church when I was growing up? On this side of Dad, within 3 inches of him, and my older brother was on the other side. That's right. Hallelujah. Then we got the Holy Ghost. Things changed. That changes everything, brother, sister. Now listen, now out of perfect faith. Speaking of Jesus and the Christians now, perfect faith, 1963. But Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. And if we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world.
Sure.
The people wouldn't understand you. You'd walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit said, you'd do it. What it forbid, you would not do it. Then the people begin to say that you'd be a mystic person to them. And that's the way it is to all believers.
Amen.
All believers.
Yes.
But I'm not all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves.
Sure.
Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. When he spoke to them, they say this. And when they said, why? You talk in riddles. We don't understand this. How can this be? See, they wasn't in the world that he lived in.
Amen.
He lived in. See, they couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith.
Amen.
Reality faith.
Amen.
Not just some intellectual conception. Well, you know, I ought to be a good person. I ought to be a good guy. I ought to clean up. I ought to not to say this. You know, but I really could go do these things with my buddies. Look, I see ministers sometimes that have worldly friends that I think they hang out with a little too much. I'm not talking Baptists. I'm talking the message, just in case you... No, it's all right to have friends, all right? But you don't, you know, as the Bible said, let's just turn there real quick, I guess. I thought I was going to do this a little bit later, but that's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I've learned to just go ahead, Brother John. Just
Amen.
Preach the word.
Amen.
That's right. The word's right. I'm wrong. Amen.
Amen.
The only good part of me is what's in the word.
That's right.
Amen.
The parts that aren't me, I want gone. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship? See, it's not just relationship, it's fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
You are. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? So here's my absolute, Brother Roy, what the Bible said I'm supposed to do about this. Now what you say, well, he's my buddy. I understand that, but you'll never win him to Christ sinning the way he does.
Amen.
You say, well, it's not really bad. It's a waste of time. You're definitely not reflecting Christ to him. You know what? The only thing you're doing is putting a stumbling block. This so-called Christian's just like me. Has the same loves I do. Hallelujah. Tell you what, we got a lot of people, and I see it on Facebook. Before, I needed discernment, you know, before we had it. But now I got brothers, man, they'll fight tooth and nail over football.
Yep.
Sure will. Oh, brother, you think they're good. They're a bunch of this and that, and that quarterback ain't nothing. Okay, guys. I didn't see the game. I know a little bit about it. I'm not going to lie and act like it don't catch a score here or there. But as far as, like, investing life into it, that's over. All right? I can't help the bird that passes over. Yeah, I saw the blue bird, okay? But I didn't take it home. I didn't pet it. I didn't go get a scientist to research what kind it was and figure out what food and feed it all the time and neglect praying, neglect reading my Bible, neglect my family. Come on now. It's the same. Oh, no, brother, but I'm just trying to love. I'm trying to be like them. No, you don't want to be like them. They need to want to be like you.
Amen.
Amen. Tell me how Abraham helped Lot.
Oh, my.
He didn't go to Sodom.
No, he didn't.
He didn't even look at Sodom.
Right.
That's right. Remember he said, which way do you want to go? Okay, I'm going this way. Didn't even turn around.
Uh-huh.
But he heard.
Yeah.
On the grapevine somewhere. He's bound. He's burdened. He's in the world somewhere.
Right.
Going to get destroyed soon. What did he do? He didn't seek their absolutes.
Right.
He went to his absolute.
Amen.
That he lived in. Yes. Hallelujah. Went back to Melchizedek and asked him about it. Oh, maybe we'll read the rest of this, huh? How about verse 17 in case you haven't read it yet? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Oh, come on.
And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God. Oh, but I'm a son of God. I am. I believe the message. Hallelujah. But it don't bother me to go do that. What's the absolute?
Right.
You just said you believe the word, and now you're telling me that we don't apply it the way it's said to apply it. There's nowhere to interpret this, brother, sister. That doesn't need interpretation. That's pretty plain. Come out from among them. Well, that's just spiritually. Yeah, that'll get your body out of there too. So that's a check, your spirit's in your body. Last I checked, my spirit's not over there and I'm here.
Right.
Wherever my spirit's going, that's where my body's headed. Maybe God give you one experience where he takes you away for a little while, but that's good. I don't think you're sitting in a bar when that happens.
Nope.
I don't think Brother Brandon was sitting there watching football and he was translated. Come on now. He was in bed thinking on the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember, he was raising his hands. He actually said he saw himself with his hands up. God help us to get more people that don't care about showing off in church, but are ready to worship the Lord anywhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Now you raise your hands here too.
Right.
Come on, if any place you ought to do it, it's here.
Amen.
But don't be a hypocrite and never give God praise anywhere else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans 3, turn right over there. It's really quick, or really close, I mean. Right back a few. Romans 3. Everybody's got their excuse in this day. I already preached on excuses pretty hard, so I'm not trying to go that route. But what happens is they lose the absolute, so they know that they claim to believe that. A lot of message people know they claim to believe the message, so they've got to do something. So that what they usually frame is some reason, and it's not a reason, some excuse why unbelief is hindering God's program. Come on. And it's never their fault.
No way.
Never. Never. Oh, it's always the song leader.
Sure.
It's always the deacon. It's always that family over there. Come on, you know, because they never sit in the front. They're always in the back. Why? They're the assistant pastors. Because pastors don't know how to run the church. They ain't back there. Oh, yeah, I got to talk to them after them about them. Hallelujah. Still love you. Amen, brother. Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? So what? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Oh my.
Tell me, where did Brother Branham say that Jesus couldn't heal Jairus' daughter where he was? He could have. But he wanted to be in the right atmosphere. He wanted Peter, James, and John to understand how this works. And later you'll find Peter did the same thing, kicked them all out and raised Tabitha from the dead. He was investing. The unbelief didn't hinder God. The unbelief hindered the unbeliever. Amen. Amen. Verse 4. God forbid. And let's make this real simple. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. We're done. Amen. God said it. I've sent my word and I heal thy diseases. It's settled, brother. I don't care if you're 90 years old. Praise God for Brother Dow. Isn't that right? A man that was even ready to say, well, I guess I'm going. But God said, I'm not done with you. And he raised him up, gave a prophet a vision, and he was walking back to church. Hallelujah. Not sitting at home whining about it. He came to church.
Amen.
Glory. Why? He was a different person. He was in the absolute. Hallelujah. And I believe the prophet was the absolute. Amen. Don't give me some other interpretation. Bible didn't tell me nobody else was coming.
Bro, that's right.
He said Malachi 4 is coming.
Yeah.
He said Luke 17:30 is coming.
Right.
Revelations 10:7 is coming.
Yeah.
Let me finish that quote. Now that's all I need to pull from there. It said nobody can understand him. And when a man lives by faith, this is out of perfect faith again, walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world. It becomes a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
There. Now you're bride material.
Amen.
Oh, but I'm the bride. I'm this. I'm that. I'm the bride because of this. Well, really? Are you doing this? Is this happening in your life? Not you doing it. Has this happened to you?
Right.
That's the difference. Everybody can fake it. But when God does it, the people know.
Amen.
This boy, he might have this fault, this failure, but there's just something different about that guy.
Amen.
Compared to everyone else.
Right.
Hallelujah. There's very few teachers that can get up and say, no, I never did take a drink in college.
Right.
No, I do not cuss and don't do it in my room.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Amen.
No, don't make out in the hallway right in front of me. I walk right between them, brother, sister.
Right.
I do.
Yes,
you know what I do now? They all know it. Public hallway. Public.
Yes.
And they'll sit there and get close. I just walk right like this. How you guys doing? Doing all right? Okay, it's public hallway. I'm allowed to be wherever I want.
Yeah.
They're trying to make you feel uncomfortable. What are you talking about? You're about to make out right in front of everybody. Who should be uncomfortable? You guys.
Yeah.
Sorry to use that term, but that's just how I say it. Amen. You understand? It's a shame. And then teacher wants to do the right thing. You know, they've been having these meetings about what we can do to get better, blah, blah, blah. So it's always, we need to communicate more. So, all right. So one of the teachers got a good idea. Guess what his idea was? Let's go meet at the bar after school. I'm serious. Right there, that pink bar. I forget its name now, but right there when you're going toward Dad's house, that little pink long building, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's got brick and it's by the fire station, whatever. It's hot pink, man. I don't know how y'all miss it. It's the pinkest building I've ever seen in my life. They want to all meet there. And I praise God, I got another teacher that's the same way. They have these Christmas things every year. And me and this other guidance counselor never go. And he came up because he's at least a Christian. He's not going to go because they're going to drink. That's it. Guys, if you don't meet at a bar, I'd probably go. If you didn't want to just talk about women, sex, drinking, and sports, I'd probably want to talk to you. But that's all they talk about. Any male teacher, I'm telling you, once you get outside of school, one of them things what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I know because I went to a track training one time when I was coaching track. Said, we want to send you this training. I said, oh, fine, I'll go. And that was my one of few nights where I was away from my wife. So she had a bunch of friends over, of course, because she can't handle it. But, hey, I appreciate a woman that loves me. Y'all pray for Sister Ellie, that's for sure. What kind of crazy woman would love me? That's right. Appreciating the word tonight. Amen. Free sermon. Hallelujah. Well, the whole way down there, man, that's all they talked about. It was all the way, it was maybe in Columbus or something. 2-hour drive. We're there for 2 days and then 2 hours back. And the whole time, they're like, man, you know, Kressel, they call me because I played football too. Kressel, you don't say much. I'm like, I got nothing to say. Man, they got to listen to sports right now. I was trying to listen to something through. I think I had an iPod or something, you know, and I could hear theirs through it. They spent like an hour. You all know, it was Peyton Manning. That's who he was. Or one of the other quarterbacks. I can't even remember. With this, or one of the receivers, Terrell, that's what it was. Would he have more yards if he had a better quarterback? I don't know. Would he have more yards if aliens take over the world? What are you talking about? What kind of question is that? There's no way to say yes or no. Why? There's no absolutes. There's no basis of truth. It's all your opinion versus mine. And now anymore, if you're a celebrity, all of a sudden your opinion matters. When it comes to politics, oh my, this movie star endorses Donald Trump. Who cares? What does that matter? I have no confidence in their ability to run a nation. I'm not even talking about the candidates. I'm talking about the people supporting them. What does a movie actor know about running a country? Really, what do our politicians know about running a country? Well, the only reason I even think about Donald Trump or that other guy that's not even a politician, maybe they try something new, you know? What we've done has not worked, right? So this is definitely the wrong path, guys. Try something else. Well, we already know it's done. It's done. Why? They left the absolute. I actually looked in my classroom. In God We Trust, according to this thing in my class, was adopted by the U.S. Congress as a national motto in 1956. Wow. In the year they turned down the absolute, they claimed he was the one they were trusting in.
That's right.
The God you claim you serve will destroy you. Hallelujah. So you say, Brother Andrew, then how do we evangelize? How do we get people to the absolute? You stick with the absolute.
Amen.
You preach the word. Amen. You don't compromise.
Right.
You don't beg down to their absolutes.
Right.
You stick with ours.
Amen. Yeah.
And you say, well, how am I going to understand it? How did you understand it, brother, sister? Did you figure it out? No. The same God that pulled disciples, I'm just going to paraphrase now. I've already went longer than I thought. He pulled them aside. And they asked him, say, why do you talk in parables? Nobody knows what you're talking about, Jesus. And we know that you know that. Come on now. Jesus was well aware they didn't understand what he was saying. And the disciples said, this doesn't make any sense. Why are you preaching knowing that it's going to fail?
Exactly.
He said, it's not given to them.
Amen.
It's given to you.
Amen.
The given word is what makes a believer. Come on, not the forced word, not the reasoned word, the given word. How did you get it? Somebody said it, and it was given to you. Hallelujah! How did you believe it? Because he already picked you. You can't make someone a believer that isn't one. Amen. But the believer needs the word to get quickened. That's right. And it needs more people to just stand up and say it instead of being wishy-washy gray and be just black and white. Amen.
That's right.
And you know what? If you break down an individual, they thirst. They hunger for an absolute, for truth, for something they can put their feet down and say, I know this is the way it is. But when it comes, their flesh don't like it. Because you know what it tells a sinner? Repent.
Right.
Not don't be gay or don't do this sinner that. No, it comes down right to them.
Yes.
It says, I'm a sinner.
Right.
I need to repent.
Right.
And they don't like that.
Right.
That's too simple. That doesn't stimulate the intellect too much. And what do? They turn down the absolute.
Right.
And there comes a day where you stop presenting it. I'll get to that here in a minute. Actually, maybe I'll just do that now. Brother Branham says this right here in the seventh seal. He says, don't try to explain the supernatural. You can't do it. It's the only thing to do is just go right ahead. And I'll try, because he was talking about going to preach seventh seal. He says, I'll try to make myself as clear as I can, but from henceforth, I think I'll never try it again. See, you just absolutely believe or not.
Amen.
And now you'll see why a little later. That's right. And quoting down a little bit further, he says this. He's talking about the man, I'm sure you know, that came out and said, Brother Branham, you could show all the healings you want. I don't believe in it. And Brother Branham said this. And he said, I wouldn't believe it. I don't care what you do, how much evidence you could prove or anything like that. I still don't believe it. I said, certainly. It wasn't for unbelievers. It was only for believers. What was it? See, you know right then the election's off. The election's off. So you're going to tell me that your persistence is going to change God's election. Aren't you glad somebody else's persistence didn't change God's election towards you? Oh, we've had plenty of people try to push you out. Don't worry. Explain why you're serpent seed and God didn't choose you. But the absolute's the word.
Amen.
Amen. Now keep listening. See what it was? You know, right then the election's off. Just don't fool with it at all. Jesus did the same thing.
Amen.
Why? Because he's my absolute. Amen. And I'm going to do it the way he did.
Amen.
Amen. He said, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, won't they all fall in the ditch? But when he come to a little prostitute, hallelujah, it struck fire. What was it? It was an elected seed laying there. See, that's seen it right now. And when it come to Peter, there was an elected seed laying there, see? And they saw it. All the Father has given, hath, past tense, given me. They'll come to me. Oh my, I love that. Yes, sir, notice, the believer does believe it. Hallelujah. The unbelievers can't believe it. So now, if anybody wants to argue about the serpent seed and things, and you try to show them, let's not skip that step. You try to show them. They won't listen to it, just walk away. Leave them alone. See, God don't argue, neither does his children.
Amen.
It's like on the internet there when that believe the sign thing went off. I got on there and talked to them for a little bit, tried to explain, tried to figure out where they were coming from. And when it, and you break it all down, it's just selfish nonsense. It's boo-hoo, I can't overcome sin, so I blame Brother Branham for it. The one guy, I can't remember his name right now, the Collins boy, whatever his name was, but he said, and this is his testimony, so I feel free to share. This ain't gossip. He put it on the internet. He said that he always had a problem with pornography. And he'd go up for prayer, you know, unspoken prayer requests and blah, blah. And he could never get over it. And he got married and he thought it'd go away and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then he said after, you know, he left the message, he went to the doctor. And you know what the problem was? He was low in serotonin. So they gave him pills. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why the Bible said flee youthful lust. What would Paul's converts have done in his day? No absolute. So now not only do you have a demon of pornography, now you have a dependence demon on a drug that you think is taking away your pornography, but it's not going anywhere. Isn't that sad?
It is.
Why they turned down the absolute. And sure, I explain quotes and scriptures and try to show them. And like I said, I even play devil advocate for a little bit. Where are you going to go now? And you know what? The believe the sign, what was his name? What's their last name? Bergen or something? Burgess? Whatever. Bergen and then Collins. You know what? They went and started their own denominations. They don't even agree with each other. I'm like, welcome to how every other denomination ever got made. He said, the difference is you guys ain't even preachers. Yeah, just to be honest with you, I've had Baptist guys that at least have a gift. Be able to argue a little bit. You know, they've got an anointing. They've got a channel. You guys didn't have anything. They try to spout off something, act smart, and I'm like, what about this scripture? Yeah, exactly. Shut up. Well, that's mean. What did Jesus say? The scripture says, I called you gods. And the scripture cannot be broken. I've got an absolute you guys claim to have, but my doctrine actually lines up. And it's not in pages because I never even read it. It's me.
Yes.
Amen. I'm one with this God I'm talking about. I cast out devils by the finger of God. Who do your children cast them out with? Where's your absolute? Didn't have one. They came, remember they said, how do you do these mighty things, blah, blah. I said, well, baptism of John, of God or of men? Of heaven or from men? What did they do? They went trying to find an absolute. And they couldn't. Why? They turned it down.
Yes.
He said, if we say it's of, he'll say, why didn't you believe? At least they had that much sense. But if we say it's of men, we fear the people because they hold him as a prophet. How much more this prophet? John the Baptist didn't have miracles. The Bible says that. They said, this John the Baptist did no miracles. This man does many miracles. We had both. We had a voice that preached the word, the coming word, the person of Christ coming again.
Amen.
with sign after sign after sign to vindicate it. And we still doubt. We still fluster. Don't back down. I don't care if you don't understand.
Amen.
Stand on it.
Amen.
That's right. And I've been there before. I've gotten trapped in a corner, but I never got trapped. God got me out of it.
Amen.
Just as much as the Red Sea, it looked like they were trapped. No way. It was for the glory of God.
Amen.
Maybe that's why you're in a dark time. Maybe that's why you're having a hard time. It's for you to get back to the real God and to quit trying to overcome on your own. Stay with your absolute. It will not change. Remember when we went through Galatians, Paul said the same thing. You started in the spirit. Now you're going to perfect the flesh.
Oh, my.
What are you doing? No, go back to the absolute.
Amen.
Amen. Why was he saying that? Because you guys said you left Judaism. And now you're heading right back.
Amen.
Is it right or is it wrong? Don't you do that with your denominational thinking either. Or what you learn in the schools, or that needs to all, like Paul did, threw it right in the dunghill. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the living God. Let me read you a few quotes here and I'll be done. The Identified Masterpiece of God, 1964. Now God, the Word in the beginning, He was independent from all other, everything else, all other people. Now I don't mean to say this to be different. God is a segregationalist. That was a tough thing to say back in the 60s. Right, that wasn't mainstream. That'll stick you out right now.
Right.
Hallelujah. You know that? You talk about integration. God's a segregationalist. He certainly does. He separates His people from the world. He separated Israel, His nation. He's trying to separate His church from the world. But the church wants to go on with the world. But His people is still segregated. Segregated to Him. Who is He? The Word. How can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit wrote the Word and a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and deny the Word?
No way.
How can the Holy Spirit and you deny its own Word that was sent forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the Word. And if your spirit in you won't punctuate every one of God's promises with amen,
amen,
there is something wrong.
Sure.
He didn't say your favorite promises. You know what? Curses are just promises for bad things.
Uh-huh.
But it's still God's promise.
That's right.
That's right. That's why Israel, you know, he knew that they would ask for a king.
Yeah.
So He already gave them a promise. You're going to ask for a king, so here's what you do.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad, but I'm already going to give you a promise of what's going to happen. God's given us so many promises in this day.
Sure.
It's not time to doubt them now. It's not time to get flustered and try to look for that. Stay with the absolute.
Amen.
You know, we talk about healing, but stay there. Stay there. Don't leave. Don't doubt now. I don't care how long you've been waiting. It's true.
Amen.
Don't just keep begging and pleading. Thank God for it.
That's right.
It's the same with getting delivered. Well, quit going back to its first thing.
Right.
Okay, you can do that. I'm sorry. Everybody's got their excuse why they can't. I just have to keep doing this. No, you don't, all right? How don't I do it, Brother Andrew? Just do it. Or just don't do it. Whatever. How do I get up and pray? Set the alarm, get up.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Be a man. You know, that's my new catchphrase, I think, at school. Be a man. It's like they don't even know how to be men anymore. That's right. Why? They left the absolute. They don't, what's a boy? They don't know. What's a girl? It doesn't matter. Come on. Now you can be whatever you want.
Sure.
And if you change in a few years, that's okay. And if anybody says anything about it, they're crazy. Well, guess what? I've just determined that you cannot call me poor no more. I'm rich. I'm a rich man.
Right.
I don't have a dime to my name, but I'm rich. Just like somebody coming with a belly this big. Don't call me fat. I've claimed that I am skinny. And you must respect what I say about myself. It's just as crazy. You are male. You have a Y chromosome. You're not a female. But people in this day is such a sad state. They've literally passed. They don't realize it. So many don't realize they've blasphemed the Holy Ghost because they made blasphemy. Just like they make Judas, this snarling, disgusting creature in the corner. Judas wore what Jesus did. Judas preached like Jesus preached. Judas learned how to pray just like Jesus. The devil's the best copycat there is. But the Lord ponders the heart.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus knew the whole. He says He knew the whole time what was in his heart. I'm sure that's the only reason John learned anything is because Jesus told him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right.
That's the only reason the bride knows anything because Christ told us.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even the other disciples, even the other churches don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
But John did.
Amen.
John was the one who snuggled up, remember, at the table? Got up on his bosom and said, "Who's going to betray you, Lord?" He said, "The one that dips the sop with me." Sure enough, here come Judas, dipped the sop, walked out. And even John kind of said, "Was it really him?" "Yes, it was him."
Uh-huh.
That's right. When the woman came up and washed Jesus' feet, John's the one that wrote, no. Judas is the one that piped up and said, "Why was this waste?" And it wasn't because he cared about the poor.
Right.
It's because he had the bag.
Right.
And he knew what would go in there. He knew that, you know, what was it, 300 denarii or whatever, 10 of that might go missing and nobody noticed.
Sure.
People do that in churches too.
Yeah.
"Oh, I know that brother gave me this money for this, but, you know, I just spend a few dollars over here." God have mercy, brother, sister. What's that worth in the end? See how stupid we can be? How about your time?
Right.
When you say, "I'll be there, brother." Now, you should say, "The Lord willing," and I agree. And as long as He's willing, you should be there. But, "Oh, I just couldn't make it. Didn't feel the call either." Come on now. You're a liar. And then if you did, be man enough to say, "Brother, I'm sorry. I lied to you." I've seen that too many times. It's just, never mind. I'm not trying to go that route. But too many people, it's such a terrible age we live in. When you think it's just a little thought, it's just a little idea. No, it's dragging people away from life.
Amen.
And all it takes is just a little bit and people blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And it's done. There's nothing you can say. They've grabbed an intellectual conception. Some of you have had people in the message that they took some idea and they start these crazy doctrines and stuff. By the time you got there, what happened? There's nowhere to talk. There's nowhere to come together. It was why they've done sealed themselves away from it.
Sure.
You think that's a hard thing to say? Of course it is. It's a hard thing to think that people are literally sealing themselves out of life.
Right.
But it's true.
Uh-huh.
And it's not one or two. The Bible said the road to destruction is wide and broad.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can't change that.
Uh-uh.
But if I can get me one, I'm taking one, Lord. Hallelujah. Bible says this. Look how strong this can be. Look how Brother Branham believed this Bible.
Yes.
It's an absolute. Brother Branham was asked, it's 1958 or 59. So we were just listening actually for church. And I was like, "Oh, I'm just going to share this tonight." 1959, questions and answers. "Calling the Spirit of God that was doing these miracles in Christ, they said it was the spirit of the devil doing that. Jesus said it is the unforgivable sin. And if you see a man, don't pray for him if he's making fun of the Holy Ghost and talking against the Holy Ghost. You are forbidden to even pray for such a person." Why? Paul said, or not Paul, John said that.
Sure.
He said, "There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you'll pray for it."
Uh-huh.
What a terrible thing to think somebody could sin so bad that they take your heart. You love these people. You care about these people. But they cross the line. And say, "Oh, that's the devil. That's the devil. There ain't nothing to that." And they, you know, vindicate a miracle of God. Come right in front of them. It just shows the election, doesn't it? Hallelujah. I've seen so many people see way more supernatural than I ever have. And they can't seem to grasp the message. How happy we ought to be of the election of God. But he said, don't even pray for it. John said that. There's only one sin to death. There is a sin unto death. Not many. One. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the Word. He's the same. You can't separate that. For a man, and I've seen it happen too many times. I saw Ellie had a friend that coming to message church, and she decided she put a mustache on Brother Branham's face with the pillar of fire. Isn't that right, Ellie? She's out in the world now, gone. People think that, oh, that's just a little harmless fun. No. If God thought so much to step down and take a picture, I think we have to think enough to respect that.
Sure.
People have a hard time respecting men, but if men are men of God, you have to. And if you're a Christian, you would.
Amen.
It doesn't make sense not to.
Right.
You tell me you're going to believe in the days of Noah and not respect what Noah had to say?
Come on.
If you didn't respect what he had to say, you'd be in the ark.
Uh-huh.
That's right. So don't lie either and say you believe the message and not get in the ark of this word and stay away from the things of the world.
Amen.
You're lying.
Yeah.
Get right, brother, sister.
Yes, amen. Help you, Lord.
There's only one. Finish this and all. I didn't mean to go this long. I'm sorry. There's only one sin. Jesus said, all manner of sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, but to blaspheme the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Now people say, well, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. What is blasphemy? It means to talk about, ridicule, make fun of, blaspheme. All right. Look how simple that is. How much more respect we ought to say. Now remember, Paul did say he blasphemed, but he did it in ignorance. Brother, sister, we're past ignorance. When God moves in a service, and brother Ronnie was telling me, some people don't understand when I say, bow your head, respect the Lord, that I'm trying to protect them. Because all you do that anyways. I understand that. You believe. And unfortunately, most Methodist churches, they don't. Even when I've preached a few times, it was all bow our heads. You got five people still looking around. It's like, what's your problem? And I'll wait. Why? Not because I'm stuck up. Because I care about them. And this isn't me back here now. It's him. Amen. And if you don't respect God, this isn't like not respecting the president. This is not respecting the King of Heaven. Hallelujah. He's got eyes full of love, but you better respect him. Amen. He's still your Lord.
That's right.
He's not just the wishy-washy. He's not wishy-washy at all. He's not a pushover.
Right.
He got pushed around one time. That was for our sins.
Uh-huh.
That's over.
Yes.
Show me where the devil pushed him around after his resurrection.
Right.
He went where he wanted, went where he didn't. He showed up wherever he did, whatever he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
He gave 120 people the Holy Ghost so he could wipe out the devil's kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Devil couldn't do nothing about it.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Don't give me this. And God gave us the Holy Ghost to whip the devil to you.
Amen.
Let me finish. What did they blaspheme? Telling that Holy Spirit that was within him, making him act and do the things that he was doing. They said he's possessed with Beelzebub, the devil. And that's the devil, a fortune teller in him, making him do those things, seeing the secrets in people's hearts and telling Philip he knowed where he was at before he was coming to the meeting, casting out devils and do the same things there. He does it by Beelzebub, and he is a devil. Jesus said, that sin shall never be forgiven. So that is the unpardonable sin, never to be prayed for. It can never be forgiven. A man and a woman that does that has eternally sealed themselves from the presence of God forever and ever. No forgiveness. Think, a God that has such a well of mercy and people have run it dry. He's shown himself so many times. These people that are leaving the message now that have listened probably to more tapes than I have, they have more witness that this is true. There's more miracles, there's more vindications, there's more signs and wonders that they've heard about than even I have. But they turned it down. What's left? People get upset when I say things about those that have left, that I don't pray for them. I don't have time to pray for them. I don't see there is a chance for that. It's one thing to leave the message. Listen, there's a big difference here. It's one thing to leave and say, I'm just backslid, I'm done, I'm not doing this. It's one thing to say, you know what, it's right, but I just can't live it. It's too hard, I don't care. A bunch of hypocrites, blah, blah. That's one thing. But to call it the devil.
Right.
To say, no, whatever this prophet's message, that came from Satan. You're done. You're done. For to go and nitpick about this and nitpick about that, they did it to every man of God.
Sure.
In every age. Jesus said it to the point where if men speak well of you, so did they of the false prophets.
Amen.
They didn't make up stories about the false prophets. Just like Brother Branham said, you'll have a Baptist minister do something wrong, nobody will say nothing about it. But he said, you know, in his day anyways, you'll have a nice Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal minister, make a mistake, it's on every news line.
Yeah.
Why? It's just like Brother Donnie. He wanted to preach something that he has a conviction of. What'd they do? Put it on the internet.
Yeah.
Most racist pastor. Are you kidding me? I could find plenty more racists all over the place. Why? Why? Because he's standing for truth. Amen. Amen. You know what? I'm just going to leave that go. Praise God. Praise God for the truth.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of quotes. I'm not afraid of quotes. I'm not afraid of Scripture. I believe it all.
Yeah.
I believe it all. That's right, brother, sister. I believe it all to the point where Brother Branham said that this other part was wrong. I believe it all. Because this is right that made that wrong. Amen. I believe it all. Amen. Some people got a problem with the church age book. Brother Branham said, that's my book. Amen. I believe it all, brother, sister. Well, that's not on tapes. That was.
Yeah.
Anybody ever looked at it? I just talked to your brother about that not too long ago. I love the church age book. I love it. I think if there's anything to get you right to what this word was trying to bring us, there it is. Right there in under 400 pages, you got it all. Amen. When Brother Samson said, what's his real desire to get translated? Said the church age book. And I completely agree. And Telugu, that's right. We're actually going to try to support that, Lord willing. How many supports that?
Yeah.
Amen. I want them to have it. Amen. Just think of that. And God help us to not let it sit on the shelf.
Right.
God help us to make it our absolute.
Amen.
That this word matters.
Amen.
Some of us, you know, the only thing we know about the message is what somebody preached.
Right.
God help us.
Amen.
No, you didn't know about yourself.
Sure.
And you know what? God will show you things that you'll never hear behind a pulpit.
Amen.
That's right. We're all supposed to have the leading of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Sure.
Amen. Actually, you need the leading of the Holy Ghost because you won't even hear what God's telling you in the preaching either.
Amen.
He'll come and twist it up and say, oh, they said that because he hates me. And he said this because he's jealous and blah, blah. If you get the Holy Ghost, you realize, no, God just loves me.
Amen.
And that's why I got offended, because you know what? Today I had a devil on me. And that devil got offended. That's what it was. Not me. I love God.
Amen.
I love the Word. So if I'm offended because of the Word, it's not me that's offended. It's the devil that's on me.
Right.
So how about I just cast him out?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just, I was listening to Brother Branham. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit. But he said, healing is just what you are. That's your seed. You're God's seed. And the church was given power to cast out devils. That's all you're doing. You're not trying to get healed. You're just casting the devil off.
Right.
So you can be what you are.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to live the way He wants me to live. It's 493 Kiev. 493. Hallelujah. Appreciate the Lord tonight.
Yes.
Amen. You tired of sticking out? Well, sorry, get used to it. That's right. And as the world goes on and on, what they think are absolutes, what they think is truth, it just dwindles less and less and less. Every day I get more surprised. Somebody think that's okay? Somebody thinks this is good? Start playing, Dad. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him. Y'all know that song? I want to live.
I want to give until there's just no more to give.
Worship Him now.
I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever have
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
You want to live like Him? Let's sing it now.
I want to live the way He wants me today. I want to give until no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. Or I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise Him now.
I want to live,
and you can today,
the way He wants.
Let's worship now. Let's let the water of life water the seed of the Word.
I want to give.
If there's a want, there's a deep calling. Thank you, Lord. There's a deep to receive. There's a closer walk with God. Thank you, Lord.
I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Jesus be the Lord. Worship Him now.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus be the Lord of all, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus, every kingdom of my heart. Let's just surrender all. Hallelujah. I surrender all.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender.
Mean it now with all your heart, all your worldly habits, all the things of this life. Surrender them to Him. Come back to the absolute church. Stay with the Word. Let all your love for the things of the world die. Don't invest in it. Don't pay it no attention. Give all your affection to Him. Thank you, Lord. Sing it again. Praise God.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart.
Dad keeps playing in this atmosphere now. Trust you, believe He's here. Feel His anointing. That I sent my word and I healed them. I mean, He's the anointing that abides with you, church. Have a little prayer meeting right there with Him. Don't worry about a neighbor. Don't worry about time. Let's get every rock unturned right now. You don't have to live that way, brother, sister. You be victorious in Christ. Admit your wrongs. Get in the blood. Get in fellowship. Come back to the absolute. Apply the token to your life. Apply it to your house. When, brother? Every day. You don't know when He's coming. Be ready. Every day. Every morning. Hallelujah. Keep the blood up there. That's right. We're in the evening time. Thank you, Jesus. What about my loved ones? The only thing you can do is consecrate yourself to the Lord. If you blend in with them, you'll never bring them to light.
Amen.
You've got to be the light of the world. You've got to have a difference than them. We all have a testimony. We all were in darkness. And what brought us out? Light did. Not a hypocrite. A hypocrite's life didn't help you. It was that true believer that you met. It might have even been Brother Branham, a true believer. You heard it. So that's what I want to follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stay there, brother, sister. Even as your pastor, don't leave the Word. Don't compromise. You'll never help anyone doing that. Hallelujah. Can we pray together? Let's all bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate you for tonight, Lord. How I appreciate you for your faithfulness to bring your word, Lord, and to feed your children their food, which is your word, the stored up food your prophet left for us, Lord. We're still feeding on it today. We're so grateful for that voice that came that got us back in line. And I pray as it speaks once more tonight, the Word of God that we preach would bring each Christian right back to fellowship with God, every backslidden right to where they need to be. And Lord, as I raise my hands as well, forgive me, Lord, how I've failed you, how I've turned aside, how I've thought wrong thoughts, how I've done wrong things, how I've been selfish, Lord, and known better. Lord, we're all surrendering it to you. We're coming back to the blood. Coming back to the absolute by faith. Lord, we accept what you've done for us. Lord, restore each one to fellowship. Let the joy of the Lord fill every heart, knowing that their sins are gone, that the past life is erased, been born of the Spirit of God, and they're a new creature in Christ. God has placed a token over their life. He's claimed them as His own. And they need to stay with Him. The absolute. Lord, I pray this believing, Lord, that you're the same. that whatever we ask in your name, you'll do it, and you've done it already. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray that each healing, Lord, that needs in this place, if there's anyone sick in body, may they leave well before we walk out of those doors. Lord, let this refreshing presence, Lord, let it not just be on our flesh and our spirit. Lord, let it get down and quicken that life that's in us. Lord, that true Holy Ghost life. That, Lord, when we wake up tomorrow, we can live closer to you. That we can keep growing, Lord, and we can keep maturing into that perfect image of the Son of God. Help each Christian, Lord. We look for your coming. We pray for it, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Help us all to ever be ready and to keep our hearts single on you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your spirit here amongst us, Lord. We all yield ourselves as vessels. Let us be vessels of honor to your glory, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him. Worship on him now. Just praise him. Don't be reserved with your worship. Just let loose. We need to get past that. Thank you, Lord. So I don't feel too good. That's when you praise, brother, sister. That's when you show you love God. If there is a need, that's fine. We can have prayer tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Believe with all your heart. Believe this. Don't let any contrary thought come through your mind. Don't let any confusion, any doubt. That's of the enemy, brother, sister. You believe this. You believe this truth that God has vindicated to us. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. As we worship God and pray with our sister here, believe with all your heart. Thank you, Jesus. He's been faithful. Thank you, Lord. Just by praying herself there, she wanted to come testify. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah.